welcome to this Wednesday, January the 29th, in the year of our Lord 2014, broadcast of Law and Gospel. I'm your host, Tom Baker, and you can call me at 821-0850 in the St. Louis area, toll free 1-800-730-2727. We're talking today about insights. That's what we like to do on Wednesdays. And the insight we're going to do is an expansion of what we had done with the Sunday school lesson that we had done with issues, etc., this past Monday. Some of you wonder, where can we get a hold of that? Well, you can either go to the Issues Etc. website, or you can go to the Concordia Publishing House website. In fact, I'm looking at it right now on the internet. What you do, you go cph.org, and then a /Sunday School. And when you go there, you go down to the bottom of the page and it says Sunday School Tools, and Seeds of Faith Podcast is where you'll get our various ideas dealing with the Sunday school lesson, many of them which come from the Concordia Publishing House material themselves. So it's Seeds of Faith Podcast under Sunday school. Now, we talked a little bit about the Beatitudes with the word blessing at the beginning. And that's what I want to concentrate more on today, just the word blessed. When was the last time that you were blessed by God? I often like asking that question when I go to seminars around the country, and I'll ask that and say, can you give me an example of the last blessing that you had from God? It's very interesting that if I take, say, 5 or 6 people and they give the example, they are all positive blessings. What I mean by that, it's, well, I was looking for some more money, and it came unexpectedly in the mail. I got sick, took a pill, and my headache went away. Things like that all the time. But that's not what we hear when we take a look at the blessings when we read them from Matthew 5, verses 3 and following. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who are persecuted when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. If you look up like a Merriam-Webster dictionary for the word blessed, they'll say a blessing occurs when something takes place that makes you happy. I've been trying to think of an analogy to get across to you how blessings at first sound negative, but they always have a good purpose. And the best I could come up with, how many times have you as a parent given a blessing to your children in the form of certain rules? For example, you go to bed at 8 p.m. You eat your peas at dinner. You cannot watch certain TV shows. You can't ride your bike out of the neighborhood. Now, every one of those, I know when I was growing up, I didn't appreciate them. I didn't want to go to bed so early. So for a long time, when I was in bed, I had a transistor radio with an earplug, had it under my pillow, until my parents found it. Well, that was the last of that. Because in those days, it wasn't just music, but, boy, you'd have all kinds, like the Lone Ranger was on the radio. I know it may sound strange, but one of the times I really look forward to is when I became ill, had to stay home, I was in bed, and being fed chicken soup by my mother, and listening to the Lone Ranger on the transistor radio. That was really great. But you see, a child doesn't regard this as wonderful, having to go to bed early, having to eat their peas, not being able to watch certain TV shows, can't drive your bike where you want. But behind every one of them was a parent who was watching over you, a parent who cared more about you than obviously you cared for yourself. Because going to bed at 8 p.m., which was kind of early, meant that when you got up for school, you'd be wide awake. And you wouldn't have to worry about, well, falling asleep at school. And eating your peas at dinner, it was a way of teaching us that whatever was placed in front of us to eat, we should finish it. Can't watch certain TV shows, well, especially today, that would be a very good rule. And not driving the bike out of the neighborhood or out of the sight of your parents was another good rule. Well, we lived in front of a busy street. And my mother would let me go outside, even when I was like 2-3 years old, but she tied a rope to me. And the rope wouldn't even reach the sidewalk. So I was always up on the lawn. Now, I'm quite sure I didn't appreciate that rope, but boy, that was a blessing indeed. When we talk about blessings from God, therefore, we really need a definition of the word blessing. I don't know what your definition is or how you've thought of blessings. If you want to share them with me, 821-0850. That's in the St. Louis area, 821-0850. Or 1-800-730-2727. That's toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I've said this before, but I wanted to take the time to expand it. What is a good definition of being blessed? And then once you have the definition, you may have a different answer when someone asks you, when was the last time you were blessed? I'll tell you what my definition of being blessed is God keeping his promise to his children. God keeping his promise to his children. Now I want to ask you, has there been a time when you have not been blessed? If you say, yes, there has been, then what you are saying is that God is not keeping his promise to his children. And that, of course, is never true. Well, when you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a whole new set of promises that God keeps. Our numbers here are 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Looks like we've got somebody up here on the line. And I think we can we go to them right now? Or let's see who it is. Hi, you're on the air. Oh, I guess not yet. Okay. All right. Numbers 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. What we're really saying, therefore, if that you are a Christian, there is never a time when God does not bless you. Because he's always keeping his promises. Well, what kind of promises? Well, Romans 8, all things are going to work together for your good. 1 Corinthians 10, there's no temptation beyond your power to endure, and God will take care of you. There's all kinds of promises. In fact, there are books written on Bible promises. Now, do you have to get a Lutheran one? No. Because by and large, when you buy a book of biblical promises, what you have is nothing but Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse. And when you take a look at these Bible verses, they're often categorized. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, here's Bible verses if you're really worried about your life. Things aren't happening the way you wish they would. So God gives you something to be sure of, namely his promise. Let's go right now and talk with Steve. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi. I don't think we could tie a kid up in the front yard today and get away with it. I think people would have a problem with that. But
Oh, I don't know. It was a way where a child couldn't go. You know what they do do is they put fence around them.
Yep, there you go.
Now, what's the difference? Now, I mean, the rope wasn't around my neck. It was around my waist, you know.
No, I didn't think so, but that's yeah. not really what I call. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
So, you know, I've heard this thought that there's no sadness in heaven. Everybody's happy. And then we always talk about how you can, you know, they can see us from above, like, you know, somebody passes away, and I wish my mom had seen this. Well, she is. She's seeing it now or something like that. But then I thought, well, but there's a lot of unhappy things that happen on Earth. If they can see us, how are they still happy seeing that? And then my next thought was, well, they see, maybe they can see the bigger picture, and they can see how this sad thing still leads to happiness in the end. We just can't see it on Earth. But then I thought, hey, not everybody goes to heaven. Can they see that? And if they see that, how can they still be happy if they're in heaven? And I wondered if you had a discussion on that.
Yeah, I've got two thoughts. The one's going to really surprise you. I don't agree that there is no sadness in heaven.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know why, but because of what I just said, maybe.
No, not at all. There is no sadness among the human beings, but Jesus is still sad. He weeps over those who are not in heaven. He did it here on earth. He's God. And so from that point of view, he's not happy with anybody who's in hell. But there is no sadness among human beings.
But wouldn't we be sad about people who didn't make it to heaven? Or are we just not aware of it?
That's a really good question, and we're just unaware of how we are going to be aware of anything in heaven.
Yeah.
We're going to be face to face with Jesus. And what about those friends? I've often said when you get to heaven, you're going to get three surprises. First of all, people you thought were going to be there aren't there. Then people you never thought would make it are there. But the biggest surprise is you're there.
Yeah.
As to your other point about...
That's like I never want to join a club that would let me in.
Yes, yes. Well, I'll tell you, I sure hope my mom and dad aren't aware of what's going on Earth, because I'm a sinner.
Right.
And
no,
there is a Bible passage where even Abraham is unaware of what is going on Earth. There is a bridge. There's a gulf between the spirits in heaven and those of us on Earth. The only people who... Well, I should say the only persons who know what's going on Earth who are in heaven are, there's four of them I have in mind.
Persons,
the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the angels.
Okay.
Because they still have a connection to Earth. We each have a guardian angel, and then God sends angels as messengers and to watch over us. But
So the earthly thinking that, oh, they're here with us is probably baloney?
No, that is correct if you understand the right circumstances. The Christian church has always taught that the closest you can get to your loved ones in heaven is the Lord's Supper. In fact, part of the liturgy, when we're doing the Lord's Supper, we talk about, you know, being with angels and archangels and with the whole company of heaven. Because even though the whole company of heaven are unaware that we're taking the Lord's Supper, the fact is that we're receiving Jesus Christ himself, which they're receiving every moment in their eternal bliss in the Spirit. So that's about the closest you could get.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thanks.
Thank you so very much. And we're just going to keep on going down the line. Phone numbers are really ringing up right now. And if you want to phone in, it's 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. And we're talking about the word blessed. And Steve was talking about, are we aware of who really is in heaven? Or are they aware of us here on earth? And so we're just going to go back to the phone lines here in a moment. Okay, let's go to number one. Hello, you're on the air, Lois.
Good morning. I have a poem I would like to read to you that came from the Southside Kiwanis Bulletin years ago. It says, I dreamed that death caught up with me and heaven's gate swung wide. With kindly grace, an angel came and ushered me inside. And there to my astonishment stood folks I'd known on earth, some I had judged and labeled as unfit and of little worth. Indignant words rose to my lips, but never were set free. For every face showed stunned surprise. No one expected me.
That's good.
Isn't that good?
Yes. And I would add that once we see God face to face and see how glorious he is, then we will think that we ought not be expected there either.
Absolutely.
Yes. Hey, that's very good.
We won't have any evil thoughts, will we?
Pardon?
We won't have any evil thoughts.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
God bless.
You too. Bye. All right. And we're going to go down the line now and just talk to James. Hi, James.
Hello, Pastor.
Hi.
I'd like for you to take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, and Luke chapter 11, verse 28, and kind of see how they are describing blessings in those verses, and give me your...
Okay, 1 Peter 3, 8, and 9, and what was the other one?
Luke chapter 11, verse 28.
Okay. And do you want to stay on the line, or are you just going to listen?
I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Let's start off with the 1 Peter one. Now, what happens here is that we have James phoning every now and then and asking for a law and gospel understanding of various texts. So we'll give you what we mean by that, but let's first read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. All right. You were called to obtain a blessing, but we need to be careful that we don't think we're only going to regain a blessing or receive a blessing if we do these things. Namely, unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, etc. The point that is being made here is that you indeed are blessed in a certain way when you do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. It's kind of that if you don't do these things, are you going to be blessed? Yes, you are. For example, a blessing is not only something that's positive from your point of view, it can also be something negative. And what I mean by that is, well, just think about it. A child disobeys his parents. He then is punished. If you take a look at Hebrews chapter 12, discipline is not something that he likes, but it is a blessing from the parents. All you have to do is take a look at a bunch of programs on television, Law and Order, or any of these, and when kids are not disciplined properly, they really can cause problems. So by being disciplined, they're being blessed. Now, we always would love to have what we consider to be positive blessings, and that's what Peter is talking about here. But it doesn't mean that the Christian is not blessed when he doesn't obey God. No, just like a child is still blessed if he has parents that do discipline. And that's the important point that we want to make. Now, he said Luke 11, verse 28. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus is responding to a woman in the crowd who said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. So she's talking about, boy, blessed is Mary. Now, there's no doubt that Mary was blessed. But Jesus is talking about, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now, he's talking about the positive responses. But when you don't hear the word of God or you don't keep it, which we often do because we begin our services being poor, miserable sinners, are we going to say that God doesn't bless us? What does he do, curse us? No. The word curse is used primarily for unbelievers. One of the best places to look at Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. The sheep are blessed. Now, you need to remember the sheep are astonished that they're going to heaven because they can't remember all the good works that they supposedly did. But that's the very point that God is trying to make. So, yes, you can get positive blessings from God as you keep the word and believe the word of God. But when bad things happen or you're sinful, it doesn't mean that you're still not being blessed by God. Anything that bad that is happening to you, God makes sure is minimized so you're able to withstand it. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk with Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. When you started talking about blessed to be a blessing, I was looking at the Treasury of Daily Prayer and Zechariah 8, and thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and in righteousness.
Yes.
And then it goes on to say, and O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing.
Yes. How are they a blessing? The house of Judah, the house of Israel.
They're talking about what it says in 2 Timothy. They're the ones that are going to be responsible for our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Well said. My favorite verse or chapter is Revelation chapter 5. And that is when Jesus ascends into heaven. Now, listen to verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals, which is the scroll that saves us. So you were right on, Cheryl, that the blessing of Israel is that through Israel would come the Messiah. And the book of Matthew, for example, talks about Jesus as the Israel down to one, because he fulfills everything that Israel failed to do and then transfers all that fulfillment over to us. So you were quite correct.
Thank you.
Okay, God bless, and thank you so much for calling. We're unable to take any more calls at this time, as we're just about finished. But here's the summary of what we're trying to get across today. When you're a child of God, you're blessed. It's something that we would wish would occur in every family with parents and children. You're blessed by receiving free meals, receiving free clothes, receiving a free bed, receiving free transportation, but you're also blessed by receiving discipline for when you are disobedient, for having rules that curtail your freedom, because parents have the bigger picture and they therefore see things that you don't often see when you're a child. I mean, how many of us have said, boy, when I get to be a parent, I'm not going to treat my kid that way. And then we get a kid, and guess what? We treat him exactly the same way that our parents did, because we see the big picture. Blessings from God are never ending. It's the difference between being a theologian of self-glory, namely an unbeliever who doesn't believe the promises of God, and being the theologian of the cross. The Christian never goes through a time that he is not being blessed. Now, we do not see the evidence of that, because a lot of times terrible things happen to Christians. Every apostle, except perhaps one, John on Patmos, was martyred. Does that seem to be a blessing? Well, according to Beatitudes, blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And Paul, even though he had his head cut off, Peter, he didn't even want to be crucified right side up. He said, no, I'm not worthy of this. And he wanted to be crucified upside down because he did not think he was as worthy, of course, as Jesus was. That's the kind of attitude that we need to have as we regard blessings. If you got a question, by the way, for me, you can email me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We often will do those on Fridays, Open Mic Friday. Tomorrow, we're going to be doing something, a discussion with Wes Reimnitz that we've never done before. And that is it appropriate to make a prenuptial agreement prior to marriage so that the divorce is smooth? We'll talk about that tomorrow. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.